now disappear.
He hit him high, but what else can he do? He can't disappear.
In slow motion, it looks a little bit bad. But
accidents happen. They do.
He's done it. There's his lead. Well, this is incredible.
Out will come the magic sponge. There it is.
No scissors, no tape. Just a dirty old sponge, and it's worked. The sponge can wipe out a pandemic. It can cure us all.
Yes, welcome again to the Magic Sponge Podcast, the miracle cure for all your rugby league injury issues. My name is Brian Seeney. Most of you know me as the guy behind the NRL Physio social media pages. My fellow NRL Nuffy, Physio co-host James, you're back again. We've just seen week one of the NRLW. How you going?
Yeah, really good, mate. Back in the saddle on a Sunday night. I've had a good week on the tips. I've hit 8 from 8 there. And interestingly, this is a cool story to share, is my aunt, it's my wife's auntie, so I call her my auntie. She's been a platinum member for the Broncos for about 25 or 30 years, and she actually won a car the other night in one of the halftime show things. So shout out to my auntie Emma and winning a car the other night. How good.
Well, it was about the only thing that was won by a Brisbane representative.
Wasn't much else to smile about, was there? But all right, how good,
mate? That's epic. That's awesome. Yeah, look, we'll move on from. I'm glad she got to take something away from that night, at least. That's the most important thing. Look, guys, exactly. Look, as always, this is your weekly one-stop shop for all things injury analysis in the NRL. I'm sure most of you guys listening already know this spiel by now. But, look, we give our take on the in-game injuries, you know, rehab, news, stuff during the week. And we relate it all the way back to performance, you know, likely workload and expected recovery time, super coach, those kind of things. So, look, if you like this pod, if you're finding the information is valuable, we do heaps more over on Patreon every week. Had a write-up on Joey Tappene, Ruben Garrick last week, Latrell with his groin injury, gave everyone an update, you know, told everyone, you know, I pretty much was unreserved, yep, you start him, he's going to be fine. And look, he went out there and scored really, really well. And I always give data, you know, reasons for those. I don't just sort of say, oh, yeah, you know, it's just my opinion. I try and go as analytical and data driven as I can, but look, otherwise, guys, let's get stuck into the injuries from round 23 of the NRL and round 1 from the NRLW.
I don't know exactly what he's done. I would have thought it was an ankle, but I'm just guessing.
He shouldn't be out for a long period of time. I mean, I'm no doctor. We have to wait for the scans, obviously, but that'd be more positive than negative.
Round 23 kicked off, Brian, with the Rabbitohs versus the Panthers. No major injury concerns out of this game, but I think you wanted to give a special mention to Liam Martin off about.
Yeah, mate, I mean, I tweeted about it at the time, but we spoke about Liam Martin, how, you know, significant the ankle injury looked last week, but how it would more than likely be a quick recovery. The biggest thing is that rarely you see guys return to their top performance. They're able to sort of get back out there relatively quickly. And even though, and he did, like, people like, oh, there's no way the Panthers physio was having it on. There's no way he tore ligaments and played. I can almost guarantee you that he tore ligaments with the amount of, inversion sort of movement. So the amount that his foot rolled in, he's definitely torn ligaments there. But guys can come back really, really quickly. They get it needled up, they get it strapped up, and it goes fine. So he definitely would have been playing with torn ligaments. But the fact that he went out there and performed the way that he did, I know a lot of people are saying he dropped a whole heap of ball. That has nothing to do with his ankle. More talking about he was able to play the full game, his workload, you know, massive minutes, massive meters, you know, lots of tackle busts, those kind of things. I just thought, yeah, from an ankle perspective, for him to get back out there and hit that performance level was super, super impressive. So, yeah, massive props to him.
Couldn't agree more. He was pretty good. Well, he had a bit of an up and down on, actually. He sort of bombed a couple, but he got the match winner in the end. So I think you have to give credit where it's due. He did really, really well to get up for that game in just under a week, I think it was, for the Panthers as well. So good to see Liam Martin going well there. I'm going to move forward to the Cowboys Warriors, Brian, but there's no actual injury concerns out of that game. So we might just skip ahead then to the Broncos v Storm. Kevolution might be dead and buried after that week, Brian. That was absolute stinker by the Broncos. And the Storm seem to be getting in a groove. So we'll brush over some quick injuries in terms of Xavier Coates with a concussion. He'll just need to go through the protocols. He was ruled out just after halftime. Tyron Wishart's been, I guess, reported in the media as a 4-week syndesmosis injury. So that's what he's sort of expecting. So that might depending on how deep they go in the finals, that might be sort of the clincher for him or not. Tui Kamakamika was a back concern, and as most people would recall, he had off-season back surgery, or back surgery last season, actually. I think it was the start of last season, sorry. So that's something that can sort of come and go and flare up and flare down. So that might be something he needs to look after for the rest of the season going forward. I'll get you to chime in for these next four individuals, Brian. So Nelson Asofa-Solomona had a shoulder injury. He's thinking AC joint there potentially. Kurt Capel had an ankle concern that Kevin Walters said he might be in doubt for next week. Harry Grant had a knee concern, which I think on the night was cleared, but you might be able to give a bit more detail there. And then also, not from that game itself, but Dean Iremia had a high-grade hamstring injury in Queensland Cup where his season may be in doubt. Do you want to speak to those four players for us, please, Brian?
Yeah, I think with the first three, it'll be a lot of, I think they should be pretty okay. Nass with his shoulder AC joint issue. Yeah, look, I've actually spoken to some guys within the Storm, and they sort of said the only real concern for them coming out of that game was Tyron Wishart. So on that, you know, look, Nass with his AC joint, he might need it needled, but I don't see them, I don't see him needing to miss a week. And then similarly with Harry Grant with his knee, I don't think there's much there. I think he just got bent awkwardly, but they were obviously had the game in the bag, so easy sit for him. Kurt Capewell, with the ankle, or it was reported by some people as a knee, it's a bit all over the shop with that. I went back and he went off sort of after about 12, 13 minutes in the second half, but he supposedly injured it earlier. In the second half, I did find the incident where he seemed to be clutching at it, and it seemed more a contact issue to his ankle. His ankle kind of copped like a knee directly to the side of his ankle. So, look, that doesn't really ring to rolling his ankle. Whether he rolled it earlier as well and then copped a knee to it, I'm not really sure. Look, it's one that off the vision that I've seen, he's not that doubtful for me. But, I mean, Kevy's obviously in a better position and possibly I missed something earlier in the half. But, yeah, I don't. I'm hoping that it's not too much there for Capewell. And Aramaya, yeah, look, 8-week high-grade hamstring. So, yeah, the Storm, they better not lose any of their sort of top level. They pretty much have Grant Anderson there to sub in. And apart from that, they don't have Wishart now. They don't have Aramia. So, yeah, they're running low on troops.
Yeah, Marion Sebo was missing this week. I think he should be back next week. But, yeah, they've been struggling all year in the outside backs despite David Ofoluma being really, really good for them. And I think the other thing that has been really good for that team is obviously Muzzard, a fullback. But I think Asofa Solomona playing on an edge has been really impactful for them. He's just given them just a point of difference in terms of you know, offloads, bending line a little bit more. He's been really good out on the edge there, even though he's a little bit vulnerable defensively. But I think there's been some good little things that, you know, credit to Craig Bellamy. He's obviously the best of the best in terms of coaching. So they've done really well through that. Next game on the slate there was Eels Bulldogs, Brian. No concerns from that game, but you did have an update about Hayes Dunster, who had a multi-ligament knee injury earlier in the season. I think that was round one or round two, wasn't it? What's the status with Hayes at the minute, and what can you give us in terms of updates?
Yeah, so Dunster, ACL, MCL, PCL in the trials, I think. So it was pretty much exactly 6 months ago. So really, really significant injury. I guess the thing, so the update here is that he's back out on the field running, which is like awesome, really, really good to see. By all accounts, it hasn't been the smoothest of sailing with rehab so far, but no major setbacks. But I guess the thing here for people is that they might be surprised that it's this far down the track before he's getting back out on the field. But this is why these, you know, major knee injuries, you're looking at around that 12 months minimum, that it just takes longer. You take the ACL, ruptures, the clean ACL ruptures. This is three ligaments. You know, you've got multi-directional instability, so instability in a few different directions with, you know, all those ligaments torn. So, he's on track. He's going well. I don't think the Eels are, you know, they're not thinking that he's behind schedule or anything like that, but more just for people to know that, you know, this is about the progress for those multi-ligament knee injuries, even in high-level NRL players. Like, this kind of running stuff, like guys with clean ACLs will often be getting back somewhere around that, even 10 to 12 weeks sometimes in NRL players, so around the three-month mark. So here we've got a guy getting back to that stage at 6 months. So it just shows, I guess, people listening, that difference for those multi-ligament knee injuries.
Yeah, nicely summarised. I don't need to be anything else to add to that, Brian. I guess the thing with Hayes, just given his age and you know, how prodigious he was in terms of his junior career. I think they probably want to look fairly long-term ahead with his knee, won't they? So I think he might be one that even has like the first sort of 6 or 8 weeks off at the start of next year, potentially. Sort of similar to how the Tigers manage Adam Dewey as well. Yeah. So I think there's probably a consideration for that in his situation. I have a feeling he was a Fuimaono. He dropped tackle.
Yes, correct.
Was the mechanism there, yeah. But I can't remember when that was. But anyway, regardless, good luck to Hayes on his rehab efforts there. Hope he goes well. Seagulls versus Sharks was an absolute humping by the Sharks there. They're in really good nick. Manly, it's dire straits there at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. They're putting up dirt every week on the fields, and there's obviously a lot going on off the field there. So they're in a bit of a funk and probably looking forward to 2023. In terms of injuries, Brian, Ruben Garrick was ruled out earlier in the week with a shoulder injury, and I didn't have any detail on it. I can't recall seeing anything that noted what detail it was. I'm assuming it's probably reconstruction there for Ruben potentially. In terms of the Sharks injuries, Dale Finucane was nursing a rib complaint, and then Cade Dykes had a calf concern where he was ruled out during the week as well. Do you want to give us an update on those three gents and potential prognosis and time missing?
Yeah, I guess with Garrick, the shoulder, good luck getting too much injury info out of Manly. They're usually pretty, tight-lipped in terms of that kind of stuff. So no locked-in details yet. I guess the one thing here is that, my DM's copped an absolute battering after he got ruled out for the season, telling me that it was his hip injury and he'd been carrying a calf or knee injury and all that kind of stuff. But look, as I said, like, the hip injury was a hip pointer. You're not going to get ruled out of the season for the season, even with three games for a hip pointer. And the lower limb stuff was just cramping. Apparently I did hear that he had a bit of a knee complaint that he was carrying, but it wasn't something that he couldn't carry for the rest of the season. But yeah, that shoulder issue was a fresh one. Dale Finucane with the ribs, he was able to come back with that, so got a needle up and got back out there. So look, our usual, especially for those patrons listening, you'll have seen my numbers sort of around those rib injuries and stuff like that. He'll just be a risk of decreased performance over the next little bit. And then Cade Dykes with the calf. I mean, look, like, I don't even know if he gets back into that Shark side. Like, that Lachie Miller, man, he is an absolute gun. Like, I don't know how he can get the fullback spot. I heard that Dykes was killing it in New South Wales Cup, but I'm like, man, every time Miller has gone to that fullback spot, like, just, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I think PA Dykes is probably the future there. I think they probably want to get in blooded and get some experience into him ASAP, because I would assume, you know, he might be the natural heir apparent to Will Kennedy there. And obviously Will Kennedy's due back towards around 25-26, I think, from the top of my head. So, yeah, it's hard to see him sort of getting back in the team. They're running pretty hot at the moment, the Sharks anyway, so they're going pretty well. Roosters Tigers there, that was, my God, that was an absolute thrashing. I want to say before we talk about injuries with this one, Brian, I don't know if you saw the initial try that Joey Manu was denied in the Matt Lodge tackle, but that was probably the worst bunker decision I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's not going to get rated because, you know, the Roosters won by 66 points, but that was a diabolical decision. And if that was a tight game or a game where a lot was on the line, that would have been awful.
And the other thing is people calling that that Matt Lodge should have been penalised by the bunker. Like saying, he's passed the ball after the tackle's complete. I'm like, he got told by the ref to play on. He wouldn't have played on if the ref hadn't told him to.
Well, the thing is, like they said, the arm carrying the ball hits the ground and there's a player on him. But then the player falls off and it's fair game. Like, just because someone is in contact with you when your arm hits the ground, if they don't stay in contact with you, tackle's not complete. It was an awful decision. Anyway, we'll talk about injuries. So we've got Luke Garner with concussion. We probably don't need to speak too much there. Alex Seyfarth was it's hard to tell by the video there, Brian. I thought, peck or shoulder's probably a good place to start. And obviously, I'll give you a special shout out to James Tedesco, who probably ruined your DMs for 7 days straight. Do you want to give us a bit of a shout out to all the Tedesco fans?
Oh, mate, we can start with James Tedesco, because what a joke that was. Look, I guess just quickly, guys, like, I know he's obviously a popular player, but I think the big thing here is there's a big difference between a rumour and a report. And I know journos cop a beating for being wrong on different things and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know, like, a sampling of my DMs, and my DMs have improved heaps, especially over the last couple of years, but particularly this year. But the number of rumours that I get asked about every week, like, I'm just telling you, there's a... I got told this week, and this is not a word of a lie, I told that Nicho Hynes like broke his ankle at training. Like some guy messaged me being like, oh, just letting you know, like Nicho Hynes broke his ankle at training. And I'm like, oh, yeah right. Like, yeah. So
it didn't look like it the way he played.
Oh, mate. So, yeah. So I think just take it all, unless it's coming from somewhere legit. And like, I think a lot of these pages, you know, now run with it and kind of give like, you know, more credence to these rumors. They're like, oh, hearing word. And I'm like, where are you hearing word from? Like just some random Facebook group or whatever. And there are some people in those Facebook groups who have great connections and that's awesome. But yeah, like, just look at where you're getting this information from before you start spouting on about it, because yeah, it just got out of control this week. Like the Roosters were playing, I know they were playing the Tigers and they ended up winning by whatever they did, but Teddy played the whole game. Like they needed to win to stay. Like, you know, the finals are really close around that eight. So yeah, it was just one of those things. Safarth with the pec/shoulder. I guess I had a few people sort of ask like why I sort of did the both pec and shoulder together, and it's because they have really similar mechanisms of injury. So it's where the arm's hung out to the side and they get run past and their arm gets dragged backwards. That is probably more typical for like a pec mechanism, so you more commonly see pecs torn. And if I was guessing one way or the other, I would kind of indicate possibly a pec tear, but you can get an anterior shoulder dislocation that way too, which is where the shoulder pops out the front. Now obviously the more common shoulder mechanism is landing on an outstretched arm, so we've seen it with guys scoring tries and different things, but this is just another mechanism that can cause an anterior shoulder dislocation as well. The pec runs through the front of the shoulder, you know, you can pop the shoulder out the front, so it's just an area that gets stressed during that movement. So either way, I'm expecting him out for the year. I'm actually sort of thinking that he'll probably need surgery if it is a pec tear, or if it is a shoulder dislocation, get a Rico there. So yeah, he might have a bit of a rough off season, unfortunately.
Sadly for him, yeah, looks like 2023 is on the slate for Alex Seyfarth. Out of the Dragons Titans game, Brian Phillip Sammy had a concussion concern, as did Patrick Herbert, so I need to go through the protocols there. Injuries that we can talk about in a bit more detail: Moses Mbai with a hamstring injury, Andrew McCulloch with an MCL knee injury, and also Aaron Clark. He had a meniscus surgery last week, I think. And I think he was, I don't know if he was a debridement or a repair. I don't know if you had any more detail about Aaron Clark with, he's gone for the year either way, but did he have a repair or did he have a debridement?
Yeah, just got the debridement. So that's where the damaged portion of the meniscus is just trimmed away or removed. So quicker return, like usually around 4 to 6 weeks. Obviously, season's over. It means he would be available for the World Cup. I'm not sure which country he qualifies for, but he will be available. If you can get a repair, so you can only repair certain meniscus injuries, it's only parts of the meniscus that have good blood supply and certain tears that respond well to repairing. It's better for long term, so Dave Fifita's had one, but it's just a longer recovery, sort of that 3 to 4 month mark. And then Moses Mbai, hamstring, it's probably minor to moderate grade. I'd say his season's over. Andrew McCulloch, I didn't really see much. I've been in a bit of a rush this afternoon. I did sort of quickly see it. I didn't see much there to suggest that it was going to be a grade three, a significant one. But McCulloch is one of those guys, he is pretty tough. So even though he looked okay, it might have been something a bit worse than expected. But yeah, I'd be surprised if Mbai or McCulloch are sort of rushed back. Actually, one thing while I remember, I'm going to skip back a game, James, to the Tigers, because we forgot to talk about my man Kenny Mamalo, who I reckon I have not been more wrong about a player than I have about Kenny Mamalo this year, because I've ruled him out for like 4 to 6 weeks like three times so far this season. And they just keep running him out there, mate. Like, I just got to say it again. I don't know what's going on. Like, he looks like he's playing busted. Each and every week, they've got guys who they're happy to sit down and get their bodies right. Like, that's how they're approaching, like, pretty much everyone else. I don't know. Like, maybe Ken's playing for a new contract. I'm not really sure what the deal is on his contract situation. But that bloke has been playing at 75% or below for, I reckon, like, most of this season. So, he's had an adductor injury. Surely, this... this is the last we've seen of Kenny for this year. But if I'm saying this is the last, he's probably going to run out again next week with my track record with him this
year. Good call. My suspicion with his contract was once he moved from the Warriors to the Tigers, I have a feeling he got a three-year deal. Yeah. So he would only be very early into that deal, maybe only 1 year down, depending on how they arranged it last season. Because he was in the Warriors there, and then he sort of requested a release, I have a faint suspicion of. And that was on the background of the season before going home midway. So he only played half the season there as well. So, yeah, I'm not sure about the status there with Ken Romalo, but it's a good observation because he seems to be the one we've talked about the most throughout this season, I would dare say, on the injury front. So, not sure what's doing. Maybe it'll come to light later in the year. Don't know. Really not sure about that.
No, mate. It's, yeah. Look, I'm happy to continue to be wrong on that one because I reckon he should have had a rest a long time ago.
Yeah, good call. Nice for Raiders was the next game we can talk about, Brian. Tyson Frizzell was ruled out with rib concern pre-game. And then Bradman Best, geez, he's another one that's been listed here quite a few times. He had a hamstring injury in training. Probably a really disappointing year for Bradman Best. I thought he'd really break out this season. So Bradman's probably done and dusted for the year on top of his off-the-field sort of disciplinary stuff that he's facing. Tyson Frizzell, have you heard much more detail about whether it's fracture, rib cartilage, if it's something he's been managing for a while?
No, I think he just copped a knock in the warm-up. And I said it in my post and I'll just reiterate here. Like, this is just the nature of rib injuries, and you hear me banging on about it all the time, how painful it can be and how easy it can be to aggravate. And this is Exhibit A. He was just in the warm-up, you know, like they were just doing run-throughs and different things, copped a knock to the wrong spot, and then he just couldn't go on. Like, you know, that's how painful it is, a little tiny knock in right that wrong spot. And this is why I say that guys coming back from rib injuries, even when they're named, it's something that I'm not counting on a full game out of them because this kind of stuff can happen. Yeah, Bradman Best, mate, what a, you know, just a horrible, another horrible season for him. Yeah, hopefully he can kill it next season because I think, as everyone can see, he's got all the talent in the world, but yeah, just can't seem to string it together for injury, you know, off field, all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, nicely summarised there, Brian. We've just got one more to touch on from an NRLW point of view. Hannah Southwell from the Knights had a knee concern. She used to have scans. I was watching that game and I didn't see any mechanism live. So I guess we can talk about Hannah Southwell, but also mention, you know, younger sister there on debut in the 7 jersey for the Knights at 17 years old. Like, what a game she had. It was unbelievable. But in terms of Hannah in the 13 jersey, I didn't see a mechanism there. I don't know if you caught it, Brian.
I did, mate. Unfortunately, it's looking like an ACL, which is pretty devastating. So I didn't see the initial mechanism. I kind of came home from a party this afternoon and saw that she'd gone off, and then sort of went back, did a Twitter search and saw that she had injured it kind of 20 minutes earlier, went back and yeah, non-contact direction change. The one thing that, you know, gave me hope was the fact that she stayed on for 20 minutes and the video. If you watch the video, both views, both times the knee is blocked by another knee. In one view, it's blocked by her other leg, and then in the other view, it's blocked by another player's leg. So I'm like, maybe something happened there, and it was okay. She stayed on for 20 minutes. We had, what's the Jets QB's name, mate? You're better with NFL than me.
Zach Wilson, sorry.
Zach Wilson during the week, he had a non-contact direction change, ACL, and it ended up being just a meniscus / bone bruise. So I was like, hopefully we can have two miracles in 1 week. But, it's not looking like the case. So they came out post-match and said the suspicion is ACL. And as we always know with those ACL injuries, when the medical staff is suspecting that, it's pretty much confirmed. They just need the scans to kind of, you know, put the nail in the coffin. So, yeah, she'd be looking at surgery and, probably 9 months out, which, would end her season and probably, and she, won't be available for the World Cup either.
No, and they'll probably put her, because she was in Origin this year, so she'd probably be in doubt for that next season too, depending on where it falls. So,
we'll
cross our fingers for Hannah there, that's not West Coast scenario. So, Brian, that's a wrap from the injuries from this week. What we can go straight into is the Patreon Q&A question. So, patreon.com/NRLphysio if you want to get more content, more in-depth answers. You want Brian just to answer your DMs. That's where you've got to be to make that happen. So, we'll go to question number one, Brian. Is Jerome Luai a chance of coming back next week? And do you think the Panthers will risk him before the finals arrive?
Mate, he looked pretty good in training this week. In their injury update, they had some footage of him, and he seemed to be moving pretty freely. It wouldn't be out of the question for him to come back this week coming. I guess the biggest thing here is that, like, I don't see much point in Penrith risking him. They've got the minor premiership locked down. Like, why bother? Now, I'll say that, but then say that Penrith have a history, recent history, of kind of blowing that approach out of the water. Like, they brought Brian Toho back end of last year after 5 weeks after a syndesmosis repair surgery, which is pretty much, it's equal to the quickest we've seen in the NRL. And for around, I've said it a few times here, like around 23 or 24 match against the Tigers, you know, that meant nothing. Brought him back, he struggled for the next month, like wasn't doing really well, had to have a week off, I think, once because he'd aggravated something. Like, yeah, so they've just got a history. You know, they played Dylan Edwards through the fracture and those kind of things. So I would say in normal circumstances, I wouldn't expect him back till finals, but maybe Penrith, their approach is as soon as guys are ready, we return them like we usually would. That might be the way that they approach these injuries. So I would say around 25 is probably the most likely. I would be surprised if he's back around 24. But, yeah, he's definitely a chance to come back before finals.
Yeah, well, they've got the Warriors next week, so you'd think the way the Warriors are going, that Panthers probably don't gain much by risking Jerome Luai there. And I guess in terms of round 25, they've got the Cowboys up in North Queensland, so that would give him, you know, a little bit longer maybe. So that would be, you know, that's probably even still, well, that is around 25, as you sort of said there. So that's the final round of the season, so that's probably not an unrealistic thing. And I like your point there that the minor premiership anyway. So,
yeah,
you know, making a return against the Warriors, I don't know. I can't really sort of see the point in them doing that, and unless they get a small amount of time into him. But they're at home as well, so they're pretty hard to beat down there regardless of who's trotting out on the field. So I don't know if they'll risk him there. We might just move on to question two, hey, because I think that summarised your thoughts and sentiments about Jerome. Do you think there'll be any other players that are going to be getting rested in the coming weeks that we should keep an eye out on, like in the lead up to finals potentially? I guess the Panthers are probably the logical one. I think the Cowboys, well, I think the table's so congested, I couldn't really see many other. I couldn't think of any other teams off the top of my head, Brian. Can you think of any other teams or any other players?
No, you've taken my exact observation. Yeah. Like, I just think that the table is too congested. There's none. Like, I don't look across those top eight teams particularly and sort of think, the bottom eight are a lottery. They could rest whoever because everyone from the Dragons down can't do anything for the finals. So, you know, they could, yeah, there's no way of predicting that. There's not, you know, not a whole lot to predict in the top eight too. But, yeah, it's all too close. I think if the Raiders lost next week and then a few of those like Broncos, Rabbitohs, Roosters kind of won and it locked them in for the top eight, that's where you'd start to be looking at restings. Or if a few of the, you know, like say like the Sharks and Cowboys potentially. But see, even then, like the Sharks and Cows, there's a home final on the line too. Yeah. Like I'm like, oh man. Yeah. I would just be surprised. And like results, it'd be very result dependent. So I don't think this is really an NRL physio, you know, based question in terms of what is going to influence it the most. I don't think there's too many injury situations here where there's teams like, yeah, because of injury, I'm going to sit this guy down. I think it's more like, oh yeah, the results have fallen this way, so we can afford to give guys a few, you know, a few restings. So yeah, I don't think there's too many injury situations.
Yeah, looking at Atlanta now, there's only one team I could potentially make an argument for, and it's probably a bit of an ambiguous one, but the Storm is sitting fourth. So my thinking is, do you tank a week and you might drop to five and get the Broncos in an elimination, or do you try to hang on to fourth and then get the Panthers away in the first week?
I think fourth is the best position to finish if you're not the Panthers, because you play Panthers week one and then you either beat them or you lose to them, and then you don't have to play them again till the grand final.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the draw. Yeah, good call.
Fourth would be the best position, I reckon.
So it's a tricky one, even with the Storm there. Like I could sort of say, well, you know, you get them at home against the Broncos if they ran fifth, where they routinely destroy the Broncos. So that's probably a pretty soft matchup. But again, yeah, you probably want the second bite of the cherry, I'd suppose, because anything can happen that time of year. Hey, like it doesn't take much for the draw to really open up, as we saw even last season. Hey, Yeah, I think, look, that's probably a wrap-up from the Patreon questions, Brian. We can move into our Supercoach teams and how we went in terms of the Bundy Mixer comp.
Yeah, mate, let's get into it. So, yeah, Supercoach Corner / Bundy Mixer. This is where we'll, you know, talk about our fantasy Supercoach teams, that kind of thing. As you know, we've sort of been talking about Supercoach a fair bit, and we'll also mix in the Bundy Mixer. So, look, I had an all right week in both. But, James, look, you're our fantasy expert, although we'll talk about in a second how much I rolled you by in the Bundy Mixer. But, yeah, hit me with how you went this week and what you're eyeing off for next week.
Yeah, bragging rights to you off the bat, Brian. I got a little bit humped. I was sort of trying to figure out the best way to construct a team, and I don't think I got it right week one. So you well and truly got the chocolates on me there. So I guess before I get into, like, the scores and all that sort of stuff, I think in terms of Bronx Wing and Julie Robinson, just the absolute dross she had to endure during the week.
Oh, mate.
If you watched her play today, or tonight, I should say, she is the best winger in the comp by quite a margin. Like, she is such an elite athlete. It's ridiculous. So, hopefully she doesn't have to endure anything like that again, because that was just really, really, really grim and probably the worst of the worst in terms of rugby league gronkery. She had a Julie Robinson. She's gone. Like, in my opinion, probably the best winger in NRLW by plenty. So, in terms of what I scored this week on Bunny Mixer, Brian, I scored 364. So, I boosted Keely Davis. He only put up 32, and then obviously double that with a boost. And then James Tedesco, who scored reasonably well, but I would have expected him to get a little bit more potentially in a, you know, a 66-point routing. So little bits to probably improve on there. I got average scores from Cam Murray, from Keely Davis, as I mentioned. Shaley Bent from a – I had her in the centre position this week. She scored average, and also Olivia Koenig. So really my only two good scores were Munster and Tedesco, and even then, you know, Munster won by 40, Tedesco won by 60. I just thought, oh, maybe I'll be able to scrape a little bit more out. So I don't think about my team construction this week and just thought, okay, well, where should I go for the NRLW players versus the NRL players? So I'm just going to try and when I looked at the scoring this week, and it might be an aberration because it was quite a high-scoring round in the NRL, but I was just thinking maybe the NRLW, I might just lean towards mid players, the centre wing position and the fullbacks, because I think in the NRL players, I think you get a better edge at hooker, half, and edge forward. So there's just better ceilings from that point of view. So from NRLW players of interest, I think who you pretty much nailed it with your picks last week, Brian. I think, you know, Taufua in the middle was really, really, really good. Obviously, Isabel Kelly was really, really good. M. Tomagato was really good. So I'm thinking maybe moving forward, looking at middles there. So Taufua, as I mentioned, the Titans middles led by Steph Hancock. She was really good again. Amber Hall from the Broncos is middle eligible and plays a little bit on the edge. So she was quite strong today for them in a badly beaten team. At centre wing, I think, you know, the Roosters are fairly matchup proof there. I think if you want to take Isabel Kelly or, you know, Sergis, you know, I think pick your poison with that. You could probably go no wrong there. And then I think at fullback, you probably got three that have caught my eye. So obviously, M. Tonegado was as good as advertised for the Dragons. Sammy Brenner, friend of the show, she was good for the Roosters, mate. Oh my God, she's just a jet, isn't she? Just and longevity with that too. So she's like goat territory in terms of NRLW for me. She's just so good. And then the other person I thought I'd just drop a mention to was Gail Broughton, who is the fullback from the Eels, and she's quite highly regarded in New Zealand rugby sevens circle. So obviously she wasn't in a winning team on the weekend, but in terms of her ability, her speed off the mark, her agility, her highlights are seriously, seriously, seriously good. But I guess moving forward, I'm probably trying to try to stack Dragons and Roosters. So they probably lead me towards those people. In terms of the NRL players, probably looking at, like I said before, hooker, half and edge here. So Grant or Cook, Nico Hines, I think is an absolute no-brainer this week with the boost. And then probably edging, I might try and hit a little point of difference with maybe Billy Kakao against the Warriors, or maybe even Hudson Young, who I think has got a decent matchup coming up as well. So that's probably where I'm going to go moving forward in terms of construction and players for round 24. Brian, give us your score and also what your plans are for this week.
Yeah, mate, 497 for me, which I was pretty happy with. At one point in the weekend, I was sitting at third in our league, which I was pretty happy about. That's drifted out to about 100th, but we have over 700 people in our league, so I feel it's a pretty solid start. I boosted Munster and Isabel Kelly, pretty happy with those. My only below average score was really Olivia Koenig, and to give you credit, mate, you got me over the line with Koenig. I was tossing between her and Keely Bailey Joseph. And I'm with Koenig. So thanks for hooking me up with that wonderful wonderful score there, mate. Just to
the wounds. She looks really good. She just wasn't sort of fantasy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
She's such a good athlete. And she got to meet Pi, but just didn't have the score to go with it, sadly. But I think she's certainly one to keep an eye on. It might be sort of maybe not now, maybe in the future for her. Like, she's only very young too.
100%. And yeah, look, I said, I think anybody who doesn't pick Nico Hines at half and boost him versus the Dogs this week, you're crazy. He is just an auto pick for me this week. I like Cook and Murray for a bounce back against the Cows. They went okay last week, not huge. I'm definitely looking at a few Panthers for point of differences against the Warriors. So even like Dylan Edwards or Kickow, as you mentioned, like a few guys like that, I don't mind that. Look, NRLW-wise, mate, Taufa is just a lock as a mid for me. Like,
couldn't agree more.
Plays 70 minutes in the middle, at lock, and just is an absolute workhorse. Like, just killing it. So, I think until otherwise proven, like, it's between her and Millie Boyle. But I just think Taufa, playing 70 minutes, I think you just have to pick her. Like, you know, that's just crazy, crazy work levels. Isabel Kelly, she's the other lock. I don't see how you could pick another center, whether it's NRL or NRLW. I think you just have to pick her. She is just, on both sides of the field. She, I think scored a try on the other side. So she floats around as well, a bit like Joey Manu kind of thing. She is just, an absolute jet. Keely Joseph, as I said, she was kind of someone who was tossing up last week. She's available at edge, but plays sort of 45, 50 minutes in the middle. Has a huge work rate. Scored like mid to late 40s this week. So that's a pretty solid score. I might be looking for someone with a bit more upside, though. So, like as you said, Bremner, Tonegado, I think they're really good options at the back. One thing I thought I'd mention, which I did notice, is that Brittany Brayley-Nardi did play 70 minutes at hooker and scored around 50 points. Now, she, I think, is the only... That had put her as the only 70-minute hooker or, full-time hooker in the game, in the NRLW. So that's not a bad... Like, if you can lock in 50 points from your hooker in the NRLW, that's not the worst way to look. I think I had Robson, who only scored, like, late 40s as well. And you have your Grants and stuff who can score 70-odd in a game where they roll the Bronx by a heap and score heaps of points. But, yeah, Brayley-Nardi's just someone to keep an eye on. I think if you can lock her in for 50 points, that's not a bad little option. As we talked about earlier, I guess you have to consider Jesse Southwell, mate, 17-year-old. Absolute gun, 63 points on debut. You can't do much better than that.
No, elite right foot step as well, Brian. I was just frothing it when she pumped in a couple of one of her line breaks she made against the Bronx, and people would just break an ankle. It was so, so good. And she was unreal, wasn't she? What an absolute superstar in the making that she is. I like you really now. Those picks from last week, Brian, with Taufa and Isabel Kelly, just locking those two in, I think, is just... Jesus, a bit of a no-brainer. And it was all about the Roosters this week, wasn't it, across the men and the women? I think if you picked a full lineup of Roosters, you probably would have got...
Mate, should have backed my girl, actually. Sammy Bremner. Should have backed my girl.
Yeah, I know.
God damn it.
Good. She was amazing, wasn't she? What a great return she had.
And look, and I guess that's a good segue into, look, we've obviously got no interview this week, but we had the special episode during the week. If you have not listened to that yet, I'm nothing in that interview. Go and listen to it just so you hear Sammy talk about not only injuries but how she's come back after being a mum twice. You know, she's 30 years old. That's her first NRLW game in a long time, and she just looked absolutely phenomenal. Like, she was so good out there. And this is someone who, you know, to go over to the World Cup at the end of the year, she's up against people like Tonegado, what's the fullback at the Knights?
Tamika Upton.
Yeah, Tamika Upton. Like, she's got, and I doubt they're going to take three fullbacks. So she's got some fair competition there. But, mate, I reckon she was the best fullback. I mean, this is probably biased, but
I agree.
Like, she was just amazing on the weekend. So, look, if you haven't listened yet, go and listen. It's on the usual podcast feed. Really, really worthwhile. I know it's 2 hours, but you know, even if you come back to it, you know, listen to it chunks at a time and come back to it, especially for any female listeners. I know we haven't probably broken into the female side of things yet. But yeah, definitely if your wife is going through pregnancy at the moment, if she's trying to get back to activity, those kind of things, get her to listen to it. I've actually had a few of my patients who are women's health patients listen to it as well, and they've got some value out of it. It's just to hear from somebody how their approach back to activity and stuff like that. How did you find it, mate?
I think it's really key, as you mentioned there, Brian, like the lived shared experience of that stuff is really valuable. I think there's something to be said about someone who's been there, done that, as opposed to, you know, just two idiots from the internet like me and you spouting off how good this and that is. I think it's just so valuable for people to have that perspective. So I would certainly talk it up to people who listen to it. I got heaps out of it as well. I think there was some really good points that she made. And I think just, oh God, how do you even sum it up? Like, it's just seriously impressive, like the work she had to put into it and the goals that she would set. And, you know, I think even just juggling life with two kids is not straightforward either. And the fact that she's able to put that amount of time and training back into herself, and you know, look at how she performed on the weekend. She was far and away probably the best fullback across NRL and NRLW. So,
well, we talk about it, mate. Really, we really say, impressive. You know, there's a difference between return to play and return to performance, right? Like, that's a big thing that we spout on about all the time. And, like, this was both. This was a return to play, but, man, a return to performance. She's in a Red Hot Roosters side, I get that. But, yeah, super, super impressive. So, yeah, guys, go listen to that. But otherwise, I think that's it for this week. Look, guys, hopefully you're continuing to enjoy the show. I think the show will probably get a little bit shorter and shorter as we head into the finals. We'll still try and do, if there's stuff to talk about, we will do an episode. So if there's injuries that have happened and stuff like that, we will still sit here and talk about it on a Sunday night. We enjoy doing it. Hopefully you guys enjoy listening. Yeah, look, as always, give us a review to a friend, recommend to, you know, your co-workers, whatever, league mates, give us a review, hopefully 5-star if you're liking what we're doing. But otherwise, patreon.com/NRLphysio for anything further. Always giving updates on there. But otherwise, look, James, go enjoy your Sunday night. Yeah, and hopefully I'll roll you again next week in the Bunny Mixer.
Yeah, look, hopefully they don't. But, you know, the other thing I can really hope for in terms of just luck in the family, maybe I could win a car. That'd be pretty sweet in the next seven days. Geez, just, mate, getting one of them under my belt, that'd be real good.
Mate, you'd be due for two kids soon. You can just hit the auntie up for, you know, come on now.
Maybe, mate. Yeah. Just with the hand out, just please help. Help me.
Yeah, God. All right, guys. See you next week, mate. Yep, see ya. Everyone, enjoy your week. And, yeah, go the mighty Redcliffe Dolphins.
Suspected broken left fibula.
Suffering syndesmosis.
After that stem cell injury that he's come back from?
That's about it, mate.